It's the O-Deck, brought to us by A Number One Air.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. It's a conversation we had here on the air, I'd say within the past year. And it was about when they were renaming and taking down the monuments in Lee Park. We were having that discussion. It was a big deal in Dallas.
Lee.
Removing the statue of Robert E. Lee from the park that bored his name. And I said, you know, I think that we will see a time when we will debate changing the name of Washington, D.C., and anything that has Jefferson on it. And I was accused by this show of being a slippery slopist, an alarmist. And now I read a story yesterday that there is Austin's equity office down in our state capital has suggested renaming the city of Austin.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Now, who wrote this?
Austin's own equity office. They have, you know, a branch of government that studies the issue and makes recommendations.
I didn't know that.
Of course, they say that this would have to go to the voters of Austin because it would require renaming. They would have to change their city charter because
right. It's
named Austin in the city charter. But with Austin's population, I wonder if there's a chance that if it does go to a vote in front of the citizens, if enough liberals feel strongly about this social issue, then could they eventually rename Austin?
So here's my take on this, and I think this was my take when you first brought this up.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was open to the fact or possibility that the discussion was going to take place. Do we need to rename Washington, D.C.? I remember it being
but
the
topic.
But
we never get there?
We will never, ever, and I'll bet your life on this, we will never, ever get there. I bet if that were put to voters in Austin, it would be voted down 95% to 5%. I bet we will never even remotely approach it because of all of the work and discomfort that would entail to people who've lived in those towns or for us, you know, our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. I just don't think we will ever even remotely approach that. The discussion can happen in little pockets, sure.
But I think your prediction was it was going to be a controversy, right? Or did you predict that it would be
changed? No, I predicted that it would be a controversy.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll go further to say that I think we will seriously get to that point.
Like it'll be on the ballot?
On the brink of it, yes. And I would not be surprised at all if we did start renaming these things within, you know, the next 50 years. And, hey, think about it. It may sound crazy to us now, but if I went back 30 years ago and told you, hey, when people are born, they'll be called babies, and you get to choose if you want to be a woman on your passport. You'd be like, what are you talking about?
Right. Never would have believed it.
Gay marriage at one time, you throw that out there, that it would be just considered as equal to a heterosexual marriage is a gay marriage, and that's just accepted as a family. You would have thought I was crazy at one point.
Well,
I mean, all this stuff, and this to me seems like it's going to be, at some point we'll think, well, this is a no-brainer, it's easy, we just change the names. I mean, here there's seven streets that they've recommended here, Littlefield Street, Tom Green Street, so on and so on. They say it would cost the city $6,000 to rename those seven streets. Well, don't you think that at some point they'll say, heritage, and they've always been called that, but $7,000 and be on the right side of the social issue, fine, we'll do it. And they'll rename those streets, and they'll take down all the monuments. And then they'll start saying, why are we going to honor all these Confederate people just because we're so used to the name Barton Springs, why are we going to keep the name Barton Springs?
Yeah, I think logistically, though, you do reach a point where it becomes not an impossibility, but such a Herculean task to rename a city and everything that goes with that. I mean, you're talking about a transition that would I can't even begin to think how long that would take. And I just don't think people have the brain power, the energy for that. I think they like talking about it, and they can switch out a street sign. But when it comes to renaming a nation's capital, I just don't think we have the energy for that. I think we'll want to move on to the next topic.
See, I totally think we have the energy for it because it will become a thing of virtue, what people call virtue signaling, a term I'm pretty tired of, but it becomes it's something that we want to do to show how much more progressive we are. And people will, it'll be a culture issue, and people will be proud to say that they support the renaming of the nation's capital.
All right, here's what we need to do, because, you know, my sister lives in Austin, and she's as far left as anybody I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask her, if that were on the ballot, what she would vote, and I think that will tell us.
Uh-huh.
If she says, no, that's stupid, then I think that's how Austin would vote, because she's very Austin.
And the point of all this is that a lot of people who think that it's stupid, they don't think like somebody else who, like a person of color, may think, well, that's typical white people. What they feel is just stupid and unimportant and, oh, you people of color shouldn't worry about that because this is our tradition. They say, well, no, no, no. How can you speak for us and what we're worried about?
I think there'll be enough to at least have a discussion. I don't think it'd ever get voted in to change the name, but I could certainly see it becoming a controversy and a discussion point and an open forum discussion where they have... You know, they give people an open mic and off they go for 2 hours.
And Austin's our most liberal city,
isn't it,
in Texas? I mean, there's got to be some chance with those variables and the state of culture now that is where the cultural conversation has led us to. Is, yeah, should we rename Austin? Is there not a more fitting name?
So when do you think it'll happen?
And I should mention,
if it does happen.
One of the reasons they want to rename Austin is because Stephen F. Austin was against Mexico telling Texans that they couldn't have slaves. And he said that if you freed the slaves, that they would become nuisance and vagabonds and vagrants, all the ex-slaves. So he was against it for that reason. When I think it'll happen, I bet you...
lifetime?
Yeah. Yes. Lifetime.
In our lifetime, Austin or Washington, D.C., or both?
Both. We will have a very, very serious cultural conversation similar to the way that we've had it about
gays and
transgender discussions. I think we'll have a serious conversation about renaming.
Okay, I guess cities. I'm asking, will those cities be renamed in our lifetime?
Oh, I don't think so.
The conversation.
I think so. I think that if it gets that serious to the point of where it is a...
We'll just call it D.C.?
Yeah, it'll be D.C. or they'll rename it, you know, Patriot City or something like that, you know. Yeah, rather than... I mean, Washington, D.C. is not a great name anyway.
Right.
It's a horrible name.
Now, keep in mind, the pro football team there is still called the Redskins.
Right. That will change. I remember that being a prediction of mine.
Yeah, but that's slowed way down. You don't really even hear that talk anymore.
I still think that will change.
Dan Snyder said over his dead body, and apparently we're headed that way.
Yeah, his body will eventually be dead.
All right. Well, it's an interesting topic for sure. Okay, I'm emailing my sister. Let's see what she has to say about this, because she will reflect the attitudes of Austin, if I know her. 6:40 on the ticket. 14 on the ticket on a Monday morning from Oxnard. It's Muse in the News with Gordo. Brought to us by D&M Leasing and All Pro Foundation Repair.
Thanks, Craig. The government of Malaysia is going to release what it calls its full and final report today on the disappearance of that Malaysian Airlines flight 370 that was carrying 239 people. More than 4 years ago is when that thing crashed, and the report's going to have 1,500 pages in it. It reaches no solid conclusion as to why or how the airline disappeared. Airliner disappeared. So the fate of MH370 will be talked about in perpetuity and will be tied in with aliens. It will be tied in with... some sort of Bermuda Triangle over there. It will be the focal point of conspiracy theorists for our lifetime.
I think it's one of the weirdest stories ever.
Boy, it is.
1,500-page report, and they can't come to a conclusion.
Nope. So here are the details. I don't know how many of these you guys remember. So it departed Kuala Lumpur International Airport at 12:41 in the morning on March 8th. Of 2014, and it was going to Beijing. at 1:19, about 30 minutes later or so, 50 minutes later, it came out with a final radio transmission of Goodnight Malaysia 370. And that was the last communication they had officially by voice. And then sometime during the first hour of the flight, the aircraft's automated data system and the jet's transponder were shut off. So those two separate actions indicate that somebody was still alive and moving in the cockpit and did this intentionally.
Yeah, because he didn't want them to track him to the secret landing spot that he had.
That's right. So then ground radar shows that 4 minutes after the transponder was shut off, the plane deviated from its planned route. It doubled back on itself, flew back over Malaysia, then north along the Malacca Strait, and then it eventually dropped off Malaysian radar. And from there, they basically had to rely on rudimentary satellite data, which indicated that the aircraft continued flying for about 6 hours until it likely ran out of fuel about 8:19 in the morning. And debris and ocean currents indicated the plane flew in a southern direction into the Indian Ocean and ended in an area investigators call the Seventh Arc, which is west of Australia. And Australia spent 2.5 years and $150 million before they decided they were looking in the wrong place, and they gave up the search in January 2017. And then there was a company here in Texas, a Houston-based company called Ocean Infinity, and they announced that they were going to explore this area that Australia didn't. They had a 65-member crew. Two Malaysian naval officers were part of this, and they had 8 autonomous underwater vehicles armed with cameras and sensors. And every day, these unmanned vessels would scour the seafloor and send back all this data that was analyzed. And the idea that Ocean Infinity had was, if we find it, you pay us $70 million. If we don't find it, then this is all on us, and we pay for all these costs. And then in May of this year, they completed their search, and they were not able to
call
it
off. So a country like Australia,
mm-hmm.
do they, now that this report's out, go to Malaysia and say, here's a bill for $150 million. We looked for your plane and didn't find it.
No, I don't think you bill them. You can't do that.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. But if you were doing it out of the goodness of your heart,
you were,
and
but
you don't
just don't
give
know,
someone
maybe,
a bill afterwards.
Yeah, maybe cover gas.
Do you bill them if you find it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so Georgia, you're saying, because you know we have people go missing sometimes,
yes.
and there's search parties that are out there for them. Then if you don't find them, and a year later, is it unfair for that family to receive a bill from the people out there who were searching? Saying, you know, hey,
yeah,
I normally
unfair.
Get paid, $20 an hour, my job, and I kind of search for your relatives, so.
Yes,
that's a very Larry David kind of thing.
It is. But I'm just wondering, when you start talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, and some people are saying that this is a little bit, they don't quite believe the conclusion of the report, that they're kind of indicating that it's pilot, you know, intentionality,
mm-hmm.
because Malaysia owns that airline. And if it was some sort of mechanical malfunction, how convenient that the owner of the airline comes out and says, you
so
know, it seems like it was somebody, it was a human's fault, not our fault, in not keeping up
the plane.
Well,
could you sue and say, well, you still hired a pilot like that?
And what about the pilot's
your
family
employee.
If he's not guilty and everyone's throwing this on him?
Yeah.
But they analyzed his home flight simulator, and it revealed that he had practiced a flight similar to that that they feel MH370 took.
I don't want to bring this up because I know we have a lot of P1s that fly.
Mm-hmm.
But before the Andreas, whatever his name
Cloden.
Was... Not Andreas Cloden, before the Lufthansa pilot, Andreas whatever, flew that plane into the Alps. I told you guys that I always had the weird feeling every time I got on a plane that we are at the mercy of what kind of mood this pilot is in.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's in a bad mood and he just wants to end it all, he can take all of us with him and we can't do a damn thing about it.
But I thought that that's why we have the redundancy of additional people in the cockpit, right?
Well, the Andreas Klodin thing, the other pilot had left the cockpit and he locked him out.
That's right.
So
that's
now right. I think there is new protocol that there have to always be two people in the cockpit. But that doesn't preclude one the stronger pilot from beating up the weaker pilot and then carrying out his plan.
Yeah, or shooting him with a trank dart.
Right.
Whatever.
And that's why every time I get on a plane, I take a quick glance into the cockpit to see if the two pilots look right in the head.
Yeah, or if they look like they got rabies and are sweating.
What are you going to do if they're arguing? You going to get off the plane?
I don't know.
Yeah, what if you hear the co-pilot saying, come on, John, don't do it. Don't do it. This is not worth it.
Come on, man. Snap out of it.
I don't know what I would do. I would want to get off the plane, but we're all zombies at that point. We just go to our seats.
I know it. That's what I'd probably do. I'd probably say that pilot's probably going to take down the plane, but I have an assigned seat, so I got to go sit in it. Be such a lemming. What's wrong with me? You know, I noticed one of the pictures associated with this news story had a people making a big poster, and it said the heroes of Flight 370.
The passengers?
Yeah.
Heroes?
I mean,
weren't they? Weren't they just
victims? Throw that word around so much.
Weren't they just along for the ride, with nothing really to do about it?
An opinion I'd never share on the air, but isn't it also weird how everybody who served in the military, no matter how they served, is a hero? I mean, even if you, like, deserted, you're still a hero because you served, right? Yeah.
We like heroes.
I mean, it would be Audie Murphy.
Right.
That, we called him a hero. Not the guy who didn't do what Audie Murphy did.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like everybody's getting a little elevated.
Well, I support our military. I guess you don't.
Well, you can support the military without saying that they're all Jesus. I mean, that's eventually what we'll get to, is that they were all Jesuses on that flight. They all saved mankind.
You know what? I'm going to get to the bottom of this flight and its disappearance.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. You're going to figure it out after all these other people have worked on it.
I just decided.
Good luck.
But it sounds like it was the pilot, right?
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Or it could have been hijacked. But the thing is, you don't think it's hijacked because no one said anything.
There was no trans.
Yeah, usually somebody wants their... And I don't think ISIS has claimed responsibility, have they?
No.
As far as I know?
I have not ruled out Martians. And I'm just going to... I wouldn't say that on the air, but that's what I'm thinking.
All right. In other news, Carrie Fisher will appear in the next Star Wars film.
What? Oh. How?
Something she filmed a couple of years ago.
She done pass away.
Yeah, and didn't she die on a Malaysian flight?
I think you're right.
Or just a flight, anyway. Remember that?
Hmm?
She died on a plane.
Carrie Fisher?
Yeah.
I thought she died on a spaceship.
No.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she did get sick on a plane.
And pass away. Yeah, she, like the last, I think, 20 minutes of the flight, she stopped breathing and they landed and took her into Luke Skywalker General. And she passed away. Anyway, she's going to be in the next Star Wars movie. And they're going to use footage that she had filmed for The Force Awakens. And, you know, they had hologram Carrie Fisher computer-generated, a younger version of her, I think, in the last one, didn't they?
Rogue One.
That's really weird. In Rogue One, that's right. That's really
that's
weird.
That's what
we're
was going off of R2-D2 and the message to Obi-Wan
one,
Kenobi.
This is weird to me that we're going to get to the point where we can have computer-generated people that look like real people.
Uh-huh.
And so then why would you even need to hire actors anymore? You wouldn't.
Yeah.
And you can make them do anything you want.
Right.
You could.
We've talked about
all
before.
Kinds of great ships.
Would you go
on.
See hologram Beatles?
Would I go see? Yeah, I'd see hologram Beatles.
I think I would, too.
I wouldn't.
Hell yeah. I always think those hologram tours seem pretty cool.
Yeah.
But you know it's fake.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's like the Beatles.
But, so what if it's fake? Movies are fake. I still go watch them.
Yeah, but they're done by real people unless it's a cartoon.
I still go watch cartoons.
I don't like cartoons. Awesome.
Cartoons may be the best.
But with the hologram tours, you can have great odd twosomes. You can have Elvis performing with Shakira or somebody. I don't know.
But you know it's not real.
Selena?
Yeah. Well, here's Frank Sinatra and Charo and the Smashing Pumpkins all performing together. Tom Cruise's latest movie, Mission Impossible Fallout, big hit. $61.5 million in its first 3 days.
Looks pretty good.
Are you interested in the Mission Impossible series?
You bet.
You like them?
Mm-hmm.
That series is now 22 years old.
Wow. And he's done all of them.
Yep. That's pretty rare, right? 22 years. How long were the Bonds? How long did Roger Moore go, let's say?
Well, Bobby had about a 15-year career, and then Barry had about an 18-year career. So, say 30 years.
Right. So, Norm.
Hey, I haven't seen a single Mission Impossible movie. Oh, is that great. Weird?
They're good. You'd like them.
Really?
Yeah.
This one is really good.
Okay.
Plus, you too did the soundtrack on one of them. I think the first one.
I'm in.
Overseas, Fallout collected an additional $92 million. And then you get Who is America has had its third episode.
Oh, no. Now what?
So
I'm not going to play it at the break. I know that
much. Sacha Baron Cohen playing his ex-Israeli Mossad agent that he always corrects himself and says, well, not in the Mossad. I was in the Mossad for 15 years. Well, not the Mossad. And then he goes on. That's his way out of it. That's his way out of it. So he sits down with Roy Moore. You remember this guy, right? This Alabama state senator who was accused of sexual misconduct with a 14-year-old. So he sits down with Roy Moore, and he pulls out this wand, this metal detector-looking wand, Sacha Baron Cohen does, and says that it is it's Israeli technology that's very good at identifying perverts. He says, it turns out that sex offenders and particularly pedophiles secrete an enzyme, he's explaining to Roy Moore. So the phrase, sweating like a rapist, is actually based on science, he says. He says, of course, it won't make any noise when waved in front of either of us because neither of us are sex offenders. And then he starts waving it over Moore, and it starts beeping, and he says, it must be faulty. It's malfunctioning. I'm sorry about this.
What's Moore doing while this is happening?
Getting uncomfortable. And then Sacha Baron Cohen says, is this your jacket? Did you lend it to someone or something? What's going on? And Roy Moore gets defensive and says, I've been married for 33 years and never had an accusation of such things. I'm certainly not a
pedophile.
He says, maybe Israeli technology hasn't developed properly, and he gets up and storms off.
Oh, how funny.
That's a pretty good guy.
It's really good.
Yeah. So it's not going to beep us. We don't.
Yeah, what's neither us, you know?
It's my functioning. I don't know what's happening.
Funny.
It's a good gag. God, I need to sit down and watch those episodes. You want to have a watching party tonight?
Sure.
We can do it. Bring your pajamas. We'll have a pillow fight. Give each other massages.
That's unnecessary.
This is sounding better and better all the time.
We don't even have to watch the show if you don't want to.
I'm back out.
Peter Bogdanovich is 79 years of age.
He had Sybil Shepherd, right?
David. Had? You mean they loved each other very much at one time.
Can I finish my sentence? He had Sybil Shepherd act in one of his movies.
That is true. And she was pretty young.
Yes.
At the time?
Yes.
Do we even do the different era, different values thing anymore? Or do we judge everyone in the past based on current values? Like, are we going to go back and say, yeah, my great-grandfather, he was a statutory rapist. Because my grandmother was 15 when they married. And
nobody wants to do that.
I want this man's name stripped off my ancestry.
That's too much work.
Paul Anka, 77. He wrote the Johnny Carson theme song.
Yeah, he was great.
He contributed.
Still is.
Yeah, what else did he write? Was that the only thing he contributed?
No, he wrote a lot of stuff.
Oh. David Sanborn is 73.
So greatness.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is 71. He's Tickets Own. I interviewed him once. That was pretty wild, interviewing Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Kate Bush, 60. Lawrence Fishburne, 57. Lisa Kudrow, Tickets Own. We had her on the air.
She was hilarious in that show, Friends, I think it was.
She actually was.
She's a great comedian.
She was like
actress.
The only one who was funny.
You ever seen Romy and Michelle's wedding, high school reunion? Romy and Michelle's high school reunion, I think it is.
Mm-mm.
It's her and Mira Sorvino, and it's really funny.
Okay.
I recommend that. Terry Crews, the actor, is 50. That's Idiocracy President, isn't it?
Come on, scrub.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, President Camacho.
And he's one of the few men who's come forward about it during the Me Too thing.
That's right.
Because some executive came up and grabbed his junk during a party once and assaulted him. Director Christopher Nolan is 48. Actor Tom Green, Tickets Own Canadian
funny.
Tom Green, 47. Hilary Swank turns 44. Jamie Presley from My Name is Earl and Not Another Teen Movie, she's 41. Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin is 34. Doug Rader, 74. Chris Mullen, 55.
All right, thanks. That's Muse, 732 on the ticket. From training camp, it's Gordon Keith, the veteran reporter.
Let me ask you guys a sports question. When you think of defense, what's the one name that comes to mind?
Sean Lee?
Yeah. So close.
I'd say Sean Lee with this team.
I'm talking about of all time.
Of all time?
Lawrence Taylor?
Mean Joe Green?
Or Antoine Woods?
Number
64, the defensive tackle for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Who happens to be out here at training camp. Well, I tracked him down. It took a lot of doing, but I tracked him down and finally found him and interviewed Antoine Woods to talk about a new game show I'm trying to develop called Choose Wisely. Choose Wisely. So I would give Antoine Woods a choice, and then it was up to him to simply choose the choice that worked best for him. Enjoy. Antoine, you got a moment?
Yeah.
Antoine, would you rather win a Super Bowl but lose a leg right afterwards or never win a Super Bowl but have two legs?
Never win a Super Bowl.
You'd rather just have the two legs?
Yeah.
Does that kind of surprise you? Usually these guys always reflexively say that
anything for a Super Bowl.
It surprises me a little, but I think he gave the right answer.
Yeah, he gave the honest answer, thank goodness.
Easy choice.
Definitely easy choice.
Would you rather win a Super Bowl but have to bike everywhere you go for life or win the Tour de France but drive a really kick-ass car wherever you go?
Win a Tour de France.
You don't want to bike anywhere?
Other
than the Tour de France.
Yeah. For the rest of my life, just biking, no matter where?
Right.
Definitely Tour de France.
Okay. Would you rather ride a bike everywhere you go for the next 5 years or have to ride a tricycle everywhere you go for the next two? 2 years of tricycle or 5 years of bike?
2 years of tricycle.
Would you rather get a Super Bowl ring, but it's for wearing the rowdy costume the Super Bowl year, or never get to the Super Bowl and have a pronounced limp?
Pronouncing limp, what's that?
Well, you know, you have to limp wherever you go.
And what's the rowdy costume?
You know, the mascot for the Cowboys. Like, you get a Super Bowl ring, but it was because you were rowdy that year rather than being a player.
Yeah, I do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's important just to have the ring.
Yeah.
By any means necessary.
Yeah.
All right. How about be homeless, but be a consistent all-pro, or have a great house, but every time you do anything on the field, people laugh at you?
I have a great house. I have a wife and kids. They can laugh at me all they want.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, every time you perform, you do something really comically stupid.
Yeah, I don't care. Great house.
All right. How about walk on your hands wherever you go or have two heads? And like one head's a little bit smaller than the other one and sitting on your shoulder and has the ability of speech.
Oh, man. I might have to have two heads.
rather than walk on your hands.
For life, wherever you go, yeah, two heads.
Okay. All right. What about, would you rather have to repeat yourself every time you talk to someone or have to ask people to repeat themselves every time they talk to you?
Repeat themselves. I would have them repeat themselves.
Really? By the way, wouldn't that be the most annoying thing ever? Either one of those to me sounds like such a subtle beating. Everyone who says anything to you, you have to ask them to repeat
themselves. I would rather them do it.
Yeah, I think he's right. I think, again, he made the right call.
Yeah.
Chose wisely.
I think I agree with Antoine on all of these.
On all of these, yeah. Every single time.
Yeah.
Instead People would hate hanging out with you.
I know, but I would hate hanging out with them, too, if I got to repeat myself.
That's a good point. See there? Look at that. He's a good thinker.
Hey, well,
would you rather be Chinese or be Russian?
That's kind of racist.
Why, you hate Russians?
No, it's just that's, you know, it's weird.
It's more of a nationality thing.
Yeah, I'll be a Russian. Russian's badass.
He chooses Russian and then says they're badass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Find out that your dad killed someone or find out that your girlfriend is your biological sister.
Ooh, dad killed someone.
It doesn't bother you that someone had to lose their life for that one?
Yeah, it bothered me, but I couldn't. That's disgusting.
But worth it.
Yeah.
Okay. And in your own words, what did Bob Lilly mean to you?
Bob Lilly? Who's that?
Mr. Cowboy?
Mr. Cowboy? Oh, the mascot?
Oh, Antoine.
Bob Lilly?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that is.
All right. What about favorite musician of all time?
Musician? Like, artist?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown, he's a guy... did all that stuff to Rihanna, right?
Yeah, but without that, he'd probably be the next Michael Jackson. So, it's Michael Jackson and Chris Brown.
So you're saying without the beating up of Rihanna, he would have been into little kids like Michael Jackson?
No. Just say that talent-wise, talented singer-wise.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, well, I'll let you go ahead and walk off on your hands right now.
All right.
Thanks, Antoine. Thank you.
All right, so Antoine
He plays
Woods.
Bob Lilly's position. He's a defensive tackle.
That's right. Bob Lilly was rowdy, basically.
I'm so disappointed in the world. He's Mr. Cowboy. You play defensive tackle for the Cowboys, you should know who Mr. Cowboy is.
He has no idea.
Man.
And I thought that they had, like, tons of Bob Lilly stuff up around the star.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he walks right on by
because he's not spending much time at the star.
If I'm Jason Garrett, I'm addressing the team tomorrow when they get back together, and I'm dropping all sorts of F-bombs saying, you blankers need to know who blanking Bob Lilly is.
Right.
Absolutely. All right, well, thanks for that exclusive with Antoine Woods.
Well, you didn't really pause long on the biological sister or dad murdering someone.
No.
He immediately chose his father to be a murderer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he gave him some pretty tough choices, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
All right, it's 8:46 on the ticket. Let's get into Gordo's Corner, and we have a new sponsor for the corner today. It's brought to us by Heaven Hill Distilleries.
All right.
Okay.
Apple is on the brink of becoming a $1 trillion company, and they think it may happen tomorrow. Wow. The first $1 trillion company in human history. I don't think we had one before in Jesus' time, did we?
I don't think so.
Okay. And Amazon's not too far behind that. So both of them, they're both racing to see who will be the first $1 trillion company. It's a little weird that Apple is worth so much, seeing as how they still don't have the market share that Microsoft does.
It is weird. I guess that's based on futures as well.
Yeah.
Just banking that...
And I guess Apple sells hardware, and whereas Microsoft is just an OS, among other products. They sell software products, but not hardware. Although, don't they sell tablets? Aren't those Microsoft tablets? Are they branded Microsoft?
I don't know.
In 2003, you could have bought Apple stock for $1 a share.
Doggone it.
And it's worth about $200 a share today.
In 2003?
It was actually on January 24th, 2003, Apple was 99 cents a share.
Dang. And, you know, I thought about buying some around that time, actually earlier than that, because I got my first iMac, I think, in 99, maybe? 98? I forget when those things came out. And I thought, man, I really like this computer. And I was when we were getting into buying stocks, we would buy, like, cheap stocks because it just sounded so cool that you could say that, yeah, I own stocks.
Yeah.
They just sounded so grown up to us to own stocks. And I thought about buying some of that, and I didn't.
If only.
I know it. I know it. What's it at per share now?
Roughly 200.
And I don't know if it's split since then or not.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, billion-dollar company, maybe as early as tomorrow. Have you been following the saga of Donald Trump's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yeah, it got destroyed.
It got destroyed and fixed and destroyed again. And they say it's going to be fixed again. And they are going to keep fixing it every single time someone takes a pickaxe or a sledgehammer to it. They're going to fix it again because they say they don't want to set a precedent allowing vandalism to get somebody's star taken off of the Walk of Fame.
Hmm. Kimmel had a bit where they had cones, after they fixed it, they had cones and rope around it, and they had Russian soldiers guarding it.
Russian soldiers. Okay. Boy, you're all up in Kimmel. Why do you love
him
so
much? He has funny bits.
But you're always pumping up Kimmel.
When it applies? I thought that was...
Do you watch him every night?
Just about. I haven't watched it since we've been out here, but I'll watch it the next day.
Uh-huh. So,
the
latest guy who destroyed Trump's star was bailed out by the previous guy who had destroyed Trump's star. He paid for the dude's bail.
The first guy, I saw the footage of that first guy, man, he was all in.
I know it.
He was out there for a while.
The second guy, too,
hacking
man,
at that thing.
It's so violent watching him go at it. Because the thing's made of granite or something.
Yeah.
It's really... Anyway, the... charges
smash,
felony
smash,
vandalism.
Smash.
It could have carried a 3-year prison sentence, but the dude only ended up with a $4,400 fine and 20 hours of community service. Got this in 2007. That's when he got on the Walk of Fame, and he got it for producing the Miss Universe pageants.
Hmm. Really?
Not for the apprentice.
No. If you'd run the Walk of Fame, aren't you kind of like, yeah, I don't want to encourage vandalism, but can't we just put it somewhere else right now? And or are people just going to find it and try to destroy it no matter what?
Yeah.
But what are you really accomplishing by smashing up the star on the Walk of Fame? I mean, do you think Trump actually pays attention to that and says, you know, really, I should probably change my policies?
Because
America's getting upset. Some Americans are.
How many stars do you think there are on the Walk of Fame?
Oh, it's probably about 2,000 something.
Very good. 2,600.
Yeah, I wish we knew.
Wow.
I was going to guess like 500.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that many.
Yeah, it sprawls everywhere over there. Goes on side streets and...
Too many? Too many spares on there?
I bet you we could pare it down a little bit. They need to revisit it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the people
seems
who...
Seems like that's a lot.
The people who got him long ago...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know...
Are they still stars?
History forgets you. That's one of the sad things about life, is that no matter how big an impact you make, history forgets you.
They need to revisit it all the time. I'm hung up on that.
Would it be continually or continuously? They need to revisit it continuously.
I would guess continuously, but I would also think.
See, I think it's
both
continually
would be okay
because continuously means to me it means like every moment of every day, and continually means
right.
Like
yes,
kind of more once a year or something.
But your statement, they need to revisit it all the time, makes it sound continuously.
Yes. And I don't think that they should do that. That's just too much work for people to stay up all night.
24/7.
Revisiting the Walk of Fame.
Didn't we just do this 1 minute ago? Yes, but we have to continue.
Okay, and then P1's really responded on Twitter to our Coco the Gorilla playing in the NFL segment. Josh Atkins, he tweets, I think the Musers have officially lost it. tuned in this morning to hear a scenario where Coco the Gorilla is playing in the NFL. The Armadillo Mofo tweets, I can't stop thinking about the Gorilla Game of the Week. Thank you, boys, for your courage. Scott tweets, the Marconi was won this morning based on one segment alone, hashtag Coco Plays Football. Marcus says, ordering my Coco jersey now. Any ideas what number he will wear for the Cowboys? No, we don't have word yet.
No.
But I would assume number one.
Coco's
and,
dead. All,
even though we do have that backup quarterback that I saw Craig talking to that was wearing number one.
Dalton Sturm.
But what are his chances?
Not that good.
I think Coco needs to wear 99.
Yeah.
Biggest number for the biggest player.
That makes sense. And the first P1 that we see out at a Cowboy game this year that has a Coco number 99 jersey, they should everyone should shake that person's hand and buy him a beer. Chad says, when Coco gets his bus in Canton, Gordon Keith needs to give his induction speech. Huh, interesting. Casey says, the Gorilla would be horrible on the defensive line. He'd fall for the hard count every time. I don't think so. Just watch the ball. Yeah, I
don't
think he
listen to the commands for the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think he would listen to any of that. That's just noise to him.
Mm-hmm.
Just when movement starts, that's when that gorilla starts going crazy. Alex says best use of Coco would be blocking kicks because there's a minimal downside.
True.
Gosh, think of the reach that thing would have.
Yeah.
Get the hands up high, and then Patrick brings up a good point. He says, if Jerry had a trained gorilla that was scoring 4 touchdowns a game, would Jerry suspend him if it kneeled during the anthem?
Yeah, I would think the rules would apply to the gorilla, too.
Yeah, but couldn't Jerry get around it by saying that he's enjoying this?
A Cowboy official's chuckling at what we're talking about.
Because
on only the
Jerry,
fourth day of camp.
Jerry has an out there. Because Jerry could say, well, the gorilla doesn't understand the anthem warnings that I've given.
Right.
So he doesn't understand my anthem policy. Therefore, we can't really suspend
he'd have an out there.
The 4 touchdown a game Coco the Gorilla.
If Coco was that great, there is no way Jerry is suspending her.
Mm-mm. No.
She would also be the first her to play in the NFL.
That's right.
That's right.
Except for locker room.
First female. Yeah, well, they have a separate locker room for the gorilla.
You don't want Coco in the locker room, do you?
What, do you think it'd be a locker room distraction?
You've seen in the video how loving she is. I think she'd be great in the locker room.
Always over there hugging on Travis Frederick and Dak.
But it's loud, and she could get...
She'd go nuts.
Start ripping sinks out. No, I don't think so.
Oh, my goodness. And someone brought this up. I didn't know this, but Chuck... Klosterman, I'm not sure how
Klosterman.
He pronounces his name now. He actually brought this up in one of his books.
Really?
Yeah, about a gorilla that was borderline unblockable, and would you put this gorilla in? Now, he has the gorilla in this case with an 85 IQ and weighing 700 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
But isn't that too... That's too weighty, right? Didn't you say a gorilla's 400 pounds?
Yeah, they're usually about 6 feet tall, 450 pounds.
Then Phil in Dallas, who's become one of my favorite tweeters of all time, always something funny, he says on that Malaysian report that came out about MH370, the flight that disappeared, he says that 1,500-page report has the phrase, "No Sully," repeated 1,500 times. On every page, it talks about how if there was a Sully, then we wouldn't even have this report.
God.
That's right.
And that is so true.
If only Sully.
If only Sully.
Sully, Rudy, Chewbacca Mom, Clock Boy.
Why do you have such weird enemies?
That's my Mount Rushmore of drive me crazy. Those four.
It's so strange because Rudy is such an inspirational story.
Stop it.
Rudy's the reason that I got into sports broadcasting.
Stupid.
And Sully saved about 1,000 people's lives.
This is all that I ask about Sully.
Okay.
About the whole Sully thing. Uh-huh. What was his other option nosediving the plane into the river and killing everybody?
That's what most pilots would have chosen to do.
No. Every pilot would have done what he did.
Yeah, but it took nerves of steel for him to do that.
Oh, please.
He had to do it just right.
He had big old balls of steel that were riding shotgun in that plane with him.
I know pilots.
Uh-huh.
And pilots tell me it wasn't that big a deal.
You don't know pilot. One pilot said that to you, and
I know
you
multiple,
based your whole career on it.
I know multiple pilots.
And who cares? They're jealous. They're just jealous pilots.
Yes. You know multiple jealous pilots.
Yeah.
And Chewbacca Mom has created so much joy and happiness.
Yeah.
She's probably...
She is...
Outside of Jesus. Just hear me out. Outside of Jesus. Chewbacca Mom has brought more joy to the world than anyone else, including Santa.
Chewbacca Mom is the biggest phony in the history of the United States of America.
That's ridiculous.
And you guys fell for it
when Mike Fisher's still alive.
I can't believe... Okay, good point. You guys, second biggest phony in the history of the United States of America. I can't believe how you guys bought into Chewbacca Mom.
Oh, look, what do you mean, buy into?
It's so funny. It's an honest laugh. It's not fake.
It is honest.
And it's clearly the first take, not her 20th take. And,
you don't know
and
that.
And she's never tried to post
you're
these videos
Chewbacca
to
mom
go famous
truther.
Again.
You're a truther.
She's just a mom.
You guys just feel bad
put on a Chewbacca mask
in.
And thought it was
her.
Funny.
That's not her laughing.
I don't think that's a fake laugh.
Oh, my God. It's the fakest.
Oh, I'm such a happy Chewbacca.
It's so real.
And it was her 20th take, and it was also her 50th video in an attempt to go viral.
She was awesome, and you know it. And then we had P1's Twittering tweeting about Killer's... Killer learning how to make a vodka tonic.
Finally,
after much experimentation, he figured out the ingredients in a vodka tonic. Delivering, okay, tweeted, "Do you think Killer's bartending school could teach me how to make a rum and coke?"
I think they could, yeah.
And El Tercaro says, "I feel your pain, Killer. I just finally learned how to make chocolate milk. Hint, there's no absinthe." So, see, it's very complicated for a lot of people, Killer.
Yeah.
Killer.
Die.
Gosh. Hey,
come on, Killer.
All right.
We're having fun.
On that note, by the way, this is a funny tweet from Trey. He said, as far as Jerry suspending Coco for the anthem for not kneeling or for kneeling, he says, Jerry's out would be, I said no person could kneel.
That's right. You didn't mention
so
gorillas.
Coco could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Gordo, thank you. That's The Corner. It's 9:30 on The Ticket. Coming up next, we have a special guest in today's